Then turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. The title of my sermon this morning is The Impact of One Step of Obedience. The Impact of One Step of Obedience. That has been illustrated already for us in the presentation of the ministry there in Thailand, how one man's obedience in only a short period of time, and how God has blessed that one step of obedience. The impact of one step of obedience. Acts chapter 16, please, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6, it reads, "And when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them or allowed them not. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray once again that you would help us to be attentive to your word. Lord, teach us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. This passage of Scripture is the beginning of the great Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. He has with him a man by the name of Silas. And also we note here in chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, as he makes his way through a place called Derbe and Lystra, he finds a quality young man by the name of Timothy. So with Silas and Timothy, the Apostle Paul is determined to preach the gospel in new areas. The Apostle Paul has an idea of where he wants to go. And that wasn't wrong in itself, but we will find within this passage of Scripture that God's ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not necessarily God's thoughts. Our thoughts, our ways might not be wrong, they might not be sinful, but the question must be asked, is this of God? And the Apostle Paul was determined to preach the gospel in new areas. And we note here in verses 6 and 7 that God's guidance was first of all, negative. In verses 6 and 7 we find the Apostle Paul, as he leaves the area of Derbe and Lystra with Silas and Timothy, he makes his way south to an area which would be equivalent to modern-day Turkey, but in that day it was referred to as Asia or Asia Minor. And the Apostle Paul makes his way south with a genuine desire to preach the gospel there to those needy people. Now within this Asia Minor area are familiar areas or familiar cities like Ephesus that he does take care of in his third missionary journey. But for now, it's not time to reach that area. So the Bible teaches us here in verse number 6 that the Spirit of God hindered this group of missionaries from going into a particular area to preach the gospel. So then we're led to verse number 7. So therefore the Apostle Paul decides, well, I'm going to go north. He came to a place called Mysia, and he was determined to go north and preach the gospel. God said no to going south, so now he determines to go north to preach the gospel. He determines to go to a place called Bithynia. But once again, verse number 7 reads, but the Spirit suffered him not, or allowed him not. So this is very interesting. As we consider the calling of God, the guidance of God upon our lives, sometimes God's guidance comes to us in the negative. God sometimes presents before us some closed doors before he presents before us an open door. So I think from time to time you and I can be guilty of being discouraged when God closes a door. At least I have been in the past. But I'd like for you to take heart this morning that if God does close a door, it could well be that that is a step towards an opening of another door. So a closed door, or closed doors, plural, as in the case of the Apostle Paul, can be the very means by which God leads us to his open door. So the Apostle Paul tried to go south, God closed the door. The Apostle Paul tried to go north, God closed the door. Now the Apostle Paul was moving from the east. So therefore, he was moving from the east. He wasn't allowed to go south. He wasn't allowed to go north. He only had one option. Go west, young man. So he continued to move westward. Because God closed the door to the north, and God closed the door to the south, and he'd come from the east, so therefore, he only had one option, move west. See? So as the Apostle Paul continued to move forward, the Holy Spirit was providing some specific guidance for him. And my friend, this morning, as we wait upon the Lord, as we are desiring to know the exact will for our lives, I'd like to encourage you, number one, don't be discouraged when God closes a door. That might be a step closer towards an open door. So don't be discouraged. And secondly, I'd like to encourage you, if you're coming from the east and God has obviously revealed to you, don't go north and don't go south, my friend, keep moving forward. Keep going westward, so to speak. Continue to go forward by continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. See, it was obvious to the Apostle Paul, we're not to turn back and go east once again. I'm not allowed to go north, I'm not allowed to go south, so my only option is to press forward, to move westward. And that's exactly what he did. And my friend, I believe that for you and I as God's people, we must be reminded time and time again that we need to continue to move forward for God's glory. Continue to move forward in the revealed will of God. It was obvious to the Apostle Paul. With Silas and young Timothy, they'd come from the east, they were not allowed to go north, they were not allowed to go south, so there was only one other option. Continued to stick to the main road, and they continued to move westward. So we see within this passage of Scripture, initially, God's guidance being in a negative sense. So the Apostle Paul continued to move westward. He continued to press forward. And my friend, this morning, as you and I seek the perfect will of God for our lives, it's so important that we continue to move forward. forward. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be waiting upon the Lord to guide you in a specific area. Let me encourage you. Continue to move forward. Continue to move westward. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Continue to move in the direction that you know is of God. You know it's of God to walk with Him. You know it's of God to witness for Him. You know it's of God to be faithful to your local church. Continue to move forward. Don't become stagnant. Don't become idle spiritually. Continue to press forward. Well, verse number 8 tells us, as the Apostle Paul continued to move westward, he came to a seaport by the name of Troas. He came to water. Now, if I was the Apostle Paul, I'd be wondering, God, what are you doing? There's no more road to travel upon. That westward road led to the coastal city of Troas. And the Bible teaches us that while the Apostle Paul was there at Troas, verse number 9, that in a vision a man appeared unto him. Now, we must bear in mind within the writings of the book of Acts that the Bible was not complete. That is, from Genesis to Revelation. So before the completion of Scripture, God spoke His word to His servants by a number of means. One was via a direct revelation, where God gave the prophet of God direct revelation. And that prophet of God, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, they foretold that revelation. There were times that God spoke in a dream during that person's sleeping routine. God spoke to that individual by giving that individual a dream. They don't get any ideas. God does not sleep. God does not speak through our sleeping sessions today. There are a lot of people today that are very superstitious and they think that God is still speaking to them through their dreams. God does not speak to us through our dreams. Let me tell you what speaks to you through your dreams, what you've thought about the day before and what you're stressing over and that excess of pepperoni or garlic you had the other night. You get my point? Okay, but before the completion of Scripture, God did speak through direct revelation. God did speak via dreams, but also God did speak via a vision or a manifestation. The Apostle Paul receives a manifestation. A man appears before him. That's all it reads, a man. We're not told it's an angel. We're not told in what form, but obviously in the image of a man. He sees a man before him. This man before him gives him some direction. There stood a man of Macedonia. The Macedonia mentioned in the Bible is not in reference specifically to the country of Macedonia as we know today. It is in reference to the continent of Europe as we know today. So this man appeared to the Apostle Paul by a vision. He was in the form of a man, the Bible teaches us. And this man said to the Apostle Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. So we see that God reveals the next step for the great Apostle Paul. And while he was there at the seaport of Troas, very conveniently, because Macedonia could only be reached via the crossing of waters, You couldn't walk to the continent of Macedonia. And it wasn't a coincidence that he finds himself there at Troas. And there God reveals to him, come to Macedonia and please help us. The helping us is in reference to the proclamation of the gospel in the regions beyond. Macedonia is our modern day continent of Europe. And this was a completely new mission field for the great apostle Paul. This was a new adventure for this man of God. And because he was prepared to move forward in a westward direction, so to speak, God revealed to him the next step. God revealed to him the next step via some closed doors. A closed door to the north, a closed door to the right. He came from the south, pardon me, he came from the east, so therefore he continued to move westward, and there at the seaport of Troas, God reveals to him the next step. And God does so via a vision. My friend, today, because we have the completion of the Bible, the canon of Scripture, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, the Bible is complete. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is complete. And therefore we have no more need of direct revelation. We have no more need of seeking God's guidance through dreams or visions, because God speaks to us from His living Word, the Bible. Well, somebody say amen. God is speaking today. God is not silent today, my friend. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if God's people would just simply spend a little bit more time in the Bible, as opposed to Facebook, or on the internet, or reading glossy magazines, we might have more clarity concerning God's will for our lives. Amen. We spend all this wasted time on isms that had no eternal value. God speaks today, but He speaks through the Bible. There is no more need to seek direction via these temporal means. God has it all laid out for us. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, God can specifically guide you using His Word. So God said to Paul, I want you to go to Macedonia. And look at verse 10. I love this. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, I like that, immediately, we endeavored to go. Now let me pause for a moment. The word we is a bit of a change of emphasis. Up until verse 10, it was they. The we includes Dr. Luke, the author of this book. We're not told how or he joined up with these men, but the Bible reads, we. So up until this point, up until God's specific guidance for the Apostle Paul, there was Paul, Silas, Timothy. Now we have Paul, Silas, Luke. See? And isn't it wonderful when you and I find ourselves in the center of God's will, that God will provide all of our needs, and God will provide those helpers that we need to carry out the work of God. So the Bible reads, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, the vision that the Apostle Paul had, of which a man said, come and help us, In the mind of the Apostle Paul, that meant only one thing. Preach the gospel. This is an opening to preach the gospel. This is an opening to share the glad tidings of the death, burial, and resurrection of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So immediately, they bought their tickets and they sailed towards the land of Macedonia. Verse number 11 reads, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, which is an island approximately halfway between Troas and the seaport of Nicopolis, which is the closest point of the continent of Macedonia. So they wasted no time. And no doubt God was with them, because they were there within a day, the Bible teaches us, and the next day to Neapolis. So they arrived within a 24-hour period of time. And my friend, when you and I find ourselves in the center for our lives, it's amazing how smooth things will be. It's when we're out of the will of God, trying to construe the will of God by our own means, that we face difficulties. But when you and I find ourselves in the center of God's will, it's amazing how God will open up the doors. And God will provide that wind strength, so to speak, to move us in the right direction quickly and diligently. Well, the Bible teaches us they finally arrived in the continent of Macedonia to a seaport by the name of Neapolis. And from there they made their way to the chief city, which is the city known as Philippi. And verse number 12 reads, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." So once they reached this seaport of Neapolis, the missionaries travelled some 17 kilometres and came to the main city known as Philippi. And the Bible describes this city, Philippi, as a colony. That simply means that this was a Roman colony. That means it was controlled and dominated by the Roman Empire. So therefore, if you were a Roman and you lived in the city of Philippi, for example, you would be exempt from taxes. That would be your reward for being willing to be a part of a Roman colony. So all these Roman colonies were scattered throughout Macedonia. This is how they controlled main points, main cities. This was the main city off the main coast. It was Philippi, 17 k's in. They dominated that city. The Romans dominated, making that their colonies, so to speak. So we find the Apostle Paul travels some 17 kilometres and arrives in the city of Philippi. Now, bearing in mind, he knows nobody. He knows nobody. He has no distant relatives here. He has no contacts, as only a night vision of a man that failed to appear ever again to him and said, "Come and help us." So by faith, he finds himself at Philippi. The Apostle Paul was very methodical, very orderly, and as I said, from the seaport of Neapolis, Philippi was first in line. And the Bible goes on to read, And as they abode there in the city certain days, that on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, as you study the strategy of the great apostle Paul, he would often begin his witnessing ventures by entering into the city synagogue. And because he was a rabbi, he had some authority. So no doubt he'd give his credential and he'd have at least one opportunity to take care of the Bible reading. And he would preach the gospel in these synagogues. Now, the apostle Paul, in arriving there at Philippi, it's obvious there was no synagogue. Now, you had to have at least 10 males in order to build a synagogue. There had to be at least 10 males within a city to warrant the building of a synagogue. Females as you like, but there has to be 10 males. 10 males within a city qualify the building of a synagogue. So there was no synagogue in the city of Philippi because there were less than 10 males. Therefore, the Bible reads, there was a group of ladies there by the river having a prayer meeting. Because they had no synagogue to go to, they went down to the riverbank and there had their own service, which was not uncommon. Wherever there was groups of Jewish people, if there was no synagogue, then seek a quiet location by the water was very popular, and they would take care of their time of worship there. So the Apostle Paul, riverside on the Sabbath, he knew that he some religious people down there. And he did. He used his noggin, as we would say. It doesn't hurt to use your brains every now and again. When it comes to witnessing and sharing the gospel of Christ, it doesn't hurt to use our brains and just think a little. And he could see that the city of Philippi, being a Roman colony, had no synagogue, so he knew, what I'll do, I'll go down by the riverside and it's the Sabbath day and I'm bound to find some religious people down there. So as he made his way down by the riverside, he finds a group of ladies praying together. And note then, verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was a city from Asia Minor. Remember? He wasn't allowed to go south. But here's a woman from Asia Minor there in Macedonia. She's not even a local. She's a businesswoman selling her expensive purple dye. This was a very expensive colouring that was used to colour garments. Purple was a colour reflecting royalty, and therefore the colour itself conveyed wealth and prestige. And this woman was a successful businesswoman there in Philippi, making no doubt a lot of money. And the Bible teaches us, as this woman by the name of Lydia was worshipping God, that the Apostle Paul boldly began to preach the gospel. And this woman by the name of Lydia was attentive to what was being said. And verse number 14 reads, whose heart the Lord opened, See, when that cry came from that man through the vision, which cried out, "Help us," God knew. God knew some genuine seekers of God Almighty there in Philippi. So God had prepared this woman's heart, and she took note of what was said. And the Bible reads at the end of verse number 14 that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now what does that mean? Well, if we read on in verse number 15, "And when she was baptized, and her household." What this simply means is this. This woman was religious. She was attempting to worship God to the best of her ability, in her own strength. But as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, her heart was opened to the Word of God. And this woman placed her in the gospel. She attended, she made her own this message of the gospel. In other words, she was converted to Christ there by that river bed. And she proved her conversion by being baptized. Now that was very convenient, wasn't it? Led her to Christ by the water bed, and moments later, baptized again. The ladies had to say, as they observed the conversion of this very influential, wealthy woman. And it doesn't stop there. The Bible teaches us that she knows to her household, whether she was married or whether she had some children, but her household could simply mean her servants. But it could involve children, could involve a husband. But she went back to her household and no doubt preached the gospel to them. They were also converted and baptized. And once again she affirms her conversion and her change of life, and no doubt she had the facilities to accommodate people, that she begged these men to abide with her, to be accommodated by her. And the Bible reads in verse 15 that she constrained them. This woman gave evidence of her salvation by her willingness to get baptized, by her willingness to witness to her household, and by her willingness to just be hospitable to the men. This woman really got saved. Lydia was the first convert of Europe. And I'm mindful of the fact that if the Apostle Paul hadn't just simply, if he refused to simply obey, this woman would still have been lost. But my friend, it doesn't stop there, because I think we've got to bear in mind that the conversion of Lydia is a very pivotal point in church history. This is the gospel. Listen to me. If you've been asleep, wake up now, please, and listen to me now. This is the gospel moving into Europe. This is the first convert of Europe. And the gospel from this point begins to make its way throughout the continent of Europe. Europe has been the core of Christian service, of effective Christian service for many, many years. So the gospel went from the Middle East, so to speak, Palestine, Israel, moved over to Europe, and from Europe the gospel went to America, from America the gospel came to Australia. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My friend, we are the fruit. We are the produce of a man of God that simply obeyed the Word of God. This man delivered the Europe, and from Europe, the gospel went to all the uttermost parts of the world. The impact of one step of obedience. This is the evangelization of Europe. Yes, from Europe the gospel did go into the regions beyond. In fact, directly from Europe, the gospel did come to the preacher that this nation had was an Englishman, a preacher of the gospel. The gospel went from Europe to America via the pilgrims. And there from America, missionaries have gone throughout the whole world and some have come to Australia. My friend, to one step of obedience. I'm so thankful that the Apostle Paul obeyed the call to Macedonia. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Because here we are. We are fruit of this man's obedience. We are spiritual children of the great Apostle Paul. Yes, we are. Spiritually speaking, we are connected to the great Apostle Paul. The impact of one step of obedience. So I'd like to encourage you, my friend, in closing this morning, don't despise that one step. Even though the Apostle Paul went to Macedonia to convert the Macedonians, the Europeans, his first convert was not from Macedonia. From Asia Minor. But God used that event, that conversion, to be the means by which the rest of Europe was reached with the gospel. That Greek world that had all the isms from culture to music to sports and academic achievement world, this is where it's all at. But yet they had the absence of the true and living God. And that's the message that Paul preached, my friend. That one step of obedience, that the gospel made its way to Europe, and from Europe it reached us. And I'm thankful for that. And my friend, let me encourage you this morning, don't despise that step that God has for you. Brother Wayne Shemish, in this presentation, he's only been in Thailand for some 4 years, I think it is, from memory. It's not long. But would you agree with me? God's using him. Now, he can't speak the language fluently as yet. But yet God is using him. Why? Obedience. He was willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." The impact of one step of obedience. See, God wants to use you. Listen to me. God wants to use you in a very special way. And maybe this morning, that man of Macedonia is saying, "Come on, come over. Would you be willing to make that decision this morning?" The power. Let's bow for prayer.